I want to share with you a very important principle that is contained in the Bible. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the most important principles contained in the Bible. It's a principle that can overlay all other teaching, and when it is done so, it changes your perspective on how you view Bible teaching. And the principle goes something like this. God did not create mankind for the purpose of granting them eternal life. His purpose was to fill the earth with people who displayed his characteristics forever. Eternal life of those involved, while a blessing, is incidental to this purpose. That's a very important statement, and it takes a little while to sink in what it's actually saying. But what it's telling us is that God did not create us for the very purpose of saving mankind. That's a very distinctive and differentiating truth, because most religious instruction or information hang their beliefs on the erroneous assumption that God's main intention, his purpose for creating this earth and everything on it and for putting man on it, was for the salvation of mankind. This principle is telling us that God's main intention was to glorify himself on earth. His main intention was to fill this earth with a people who share his character, his principles, who live according to his morality, who ultimately have his glorious physical body. They live forever, they cannot die. And while that involves and will incorporate the salvation of human beings, while that is a blessing, the salvation of those human beings is incidental to the glorification of God. And you can see the shift in thinking there. The shift in thinking takes the focus away from the salvation of man, and it shifts it to the glorification of God. And if we overlay that principle on all Bible teaching, we will view the Bible in a very different light, and hopefully a correct light. I want to take a few moments then to show you that that is indeed the purpose of God, first of all. That God's purpose is to fill this earth with people who have his character. So the first point of that is that he did indeed create this earth to fill it with people. He created this earth to be inhabited. That's what Isaiah 45 verse 18 tells us. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. It wasn't for no reason. It didn't pop out of the Big Bang just by chance. It was with a specific purpose. He formed it to be inhabited, to fill it with people. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So God created this earth to fill it with people. Second point, he created this earth to fill it with his glory. Numbers 14 and verse 21. Truly I live, says God, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Again in Psalm 72. And blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And similar words in Habakkuk 2 and verse 14. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters do cover the sea. That's the stated purpose of God, to fill the earth with his glory. So we have two points. He wants to fill the earth with people. He wants to fill the earth with his glory. How do we marry the two together? Well, we have to understand what God's glory is. We don't have to guess, because he tells us in the scripture. And in actual fact, Moses asked God the same question. Moses said to God, I beseech thee, God, show me what your glory is. And God responded to Moses. God responded in Exodus 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And I want you to take note of that and remember it, because the name of the Lord is very much tied up with his character. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and in truth. And you notice what God did there. Moses asked God to show him his glory. God responded by proclaiming his character. And he was teaching Moses, and he's teaching us that in actual fact, God's glory is his character, his principles, his morality. It's what's important to God. That's his glory. So when we put all those three things together, God created this earth to be inhabited. He's going to fill this earth with his glory, and God's glory is his character. He's going to fill this earth, a population of people on earth who have God's qualities and characteristics. And that reminds us of that principle we looked at, that God's main purpose for the creation of this earth with mankind thereon is to fill it with his glory, to fill it with a people who have his character and his principles. And the fact that we can be involved with that is incidental to the glorification of God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ was an excellent example of that when he was on earth some 2,000 years ago. If you're familiar with the Bible in any way, you'll know that the Lord Jesus Christ was a sinless man. And by that, we mean that he perfectly exhibited the character and principles of God without fail. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says this of himself in John 17, "I have glorified thee on earth." Now that's the stated purpose of God, isn't it? To fill the earth with his glory. The Lord said, "I've glorified thee on earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do." How did he do it? "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Remember we mentioned earlier that that name is very much incorporated with God's character. So much so that a different translation of the same verses say this, "I have glorified thee on the earth," says the Lord. How did he do that? "I have revealed thy perfections." That's the glory of God, his character, his perfect character, and the way he thinks, the way he acts, and his characteristics. And so the Lord was a perfect example of what God wants to do in this earth with all people, not just the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not surprising then that the Bible talks about godly characteristics being in the kingdom, because that's the stated purpose of God, isn't it? That God wants to fill the earth with people who have godly characteristics. And so you'll read quotes like this throughout the entire Bible. "Blessed is the poor in spirit," those that are humble. It's a godly characteristic, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." "Blessed are the meek," they are people who are not headstrong but are willing to conform to God's character, "for they will inherit the earth." "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled eternally." They are people who concern themselves with what is right. And what is right is defined by the character and morality of God. That is what is right. And people who strive after what is right, God's righteousness, they will be filled eternally. "Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God hath not chosen the poor in this world, but rich in faith, as heirs of the kingdom." People with godly characteristics. And the flip side is true as well, that there are such things as ungodly characteristics, and we would expect them to be excluded from the kingdom. And so in Galatians 5 and verse 19, we read of some of those ungodly characteristics. They're not characteristics of God, they are characteristics of flesh. They are manly characteristics. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. Why? Because they are ungodly characteristics. The quote goes on in Galatians 5, it's the same section of scripture. He says, but the flip side, the things that are godly characteristics, the things that will be in the kingdom, are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're godly characteristics, characteristics that God values, that he's asked us to think about and try and put into practice in our lives because they will be of use to him in the kingdom age. They will glorify his name in the age to come. So there's something else that we need to know about God, something very important. If God's purpose has everything to do with filling this earth with his glory, filling this earth with his character, his way of thinking, his morality, the important thing we need to know about God and to understand is that he never changes. And that's not something that we hear a lot about. In the world in which we live, we hear a lot about morality changing. What was not okay 50 years ago is okay today because it is now socially acceptable. That's not what the Bible teaches. Malachi 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, says God." James 1 and verse 17, "Every gift which is good and every perfect boon is from above and comes down from the Father, who is the source of all light. In him there is no variation nor the slightest suggestion of change." God doesn't change. And because by definition, morality is defined by God, morality is absolute. Morality doesn't change. And that makes sense when we consider morality in terms of the plan and purpose of God. If God's plan and purpose has not changed, and that it has always been and always will be to fill this earth with people who have his character and his way of thinking and his morality, and that's never changed, it makes sense. Morality never changes. And so what God accepted in 100 AD as being perfectly moral is the same today, regardless of what society says or what society does.